What a beautiful song. We sure do miss singing with you all live, and maybe someday soon that will happen again. We look forward to it. I was just looking out at the empty seats and seeing all your shining faces in there, and I look forward to the day where we can do that again. So we got a different crew today, about 50%. Cindy's gone on vacation, as I said, and Savannah is as well, and Ireland's back. We welcome you back, Ireland. It's nice to have you. And as always, Terry's on the piano, and Steve is running sound and video and all that good stuff. Thank you for being here today. There's not much in the way of announcements, but we have the same stuff going on that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. We've got our chaplains, and the chaplain team is a group of wonderful people who are devoted to prayer and to praying with you and to holding the prayer consciousness for our community. And so there's many ways that you can reach them. And all of the things that I'm talking about today, you can find either through our website, which is the best way, or through our Facebook page, or you can just send one of us an email and we'll get you in touch with a chaplain. But if you'd like somebody to pray with or just talk to, always feel free to reach out in that way. And not only that, but Unity as a movement has Silent Unity, which is a wonderful way to connect. And that way you can reach out to someone on the phone or through even an app, and you can get a prayer that will definitely put wind back in your sails if you are flagging. And even if you just want to pray with somebody and be lifted up because you're already lifted up and you'd like to go a little higher, well, prayer always does all that. We also have a community support fund. So if you or someone you know in our community is needing some financial assistance, please reach out, and we will help you with that if we can. And you can do that again through the website. We have lots of Zoom classes. We have Course in Miracles both Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. We have a Happy Hearts, kind of a healing circle support group that's on Monday evenings. And we have social hour after church today. So right when we're done, there's a social hour that you can get on as well. And so all of that's available through our website. All right. Is there anything I'm missing? We got that? Okay, we're good. And if you'd like to just reach out for any other reason, please send us an email. All right, well, let's settle in for a meditation then. All right, we'll go ahead and switch. We'll switch roles. Let's get settled in. We come to this now moment fully present to whatever is in our space. Whatever kind of anxiousness or peace, however far along the spectrum we seem from where we want to be, we come present with that. And we just accept it all. This now moment, just as it is. And we look past whatever chaos or discord, and we reach just a little bit higher and lay hold of that divine power that gives life to the universe. And so let that now be your breath, that power. Feel with each inhalation bringing in the divine life, infusing the cells, and with each exhalation letting go a little bit more. So that each breath becomes a greater depth of awareness into the true nature of our threefold being, body, mind, and spirit. Notice for a moment just how much you can shift your presence by your awareness. Go into your physical body and feel it. Feel your weight and your mass and your physicality. and then feel your beating human heart. Notice its rhythm with the breath flow and how they dance together like two dancers. Perfectly harmonized to the rhythms of the universe. And then up into the mind. And what is the mind? Is it the thoughts, the ideas, the fresh inspirations? Take a moment and imagine yourself as soul, free, unfettered. What can you do from here? And then we lift both body and soul into the pure breath of spirit as one great presence. And here we release and let go and allow this perfection to flow through everything that we are. And then as this awareness, we now begin to enter back into the physical realm. Only everything has changed, for every cell is enlivened, and all of our awareness is made pure, that we are that awareness, pure and holy. So it is. Amen.
A word of praise, a word of praise.
Thank you so much for that song. Really good. And it's when that music happens, somebody said to me, I was at a celebration of life yesterday, and the singer said that music has this way of opening us up where nothing else can in that same way. And so the words to that song are the words to this, what I want to talk about today, what I feel like is in the energy, that mind, body, and spirit. And it's sort of encompassed in our symbol, the unity wings, mind, body, and spirit. The circle is the body and the wings, the soul that gives rise to the body, and then enveloped in the principle of spirit. What a thing that is. And there's not one that's more important than the other. And sometimes we can get pretty derogatory towards our bodies, especially when they don't function like we want them to, but they're just as important to cultivate as our spiritual nature, because they're not separate, but they seem so. And so I was reminded by the beloved guru Paramahansa Yogananda that all religions ultimately are based upon the same truths and seek for the same things. When I really get with that, it seems that all human beings really want the same thing. And sometimes that just doesn't seem so, does it? We hear somebody pontificating or being very loud about an opinion that they have, and they so want to be right about something. It's even violent sometimes. And it's hard to believe in that moment that that human being wants peace like I do. But if we'll just look deeper, we can see it. And that is not always easy to do. In fact, it's one of the most difficult things to do. And sometimes I wonder if that's the very point of existence in a human body on planet Earth. I don't know. Yogananda says that God can be known scientifically and experientially. And that's the same thing that Charles Fillmore found, co-founder of Unity. In fact, a lot of people accused Charles Fillmore of being more of a Hindu than a Christian because of his deep connection with God through scientific prayer and meditation, contacting the Spirit of God from the silence within. And that's done through the body as the soul, reaching back to its source. No small stuff, is it? And we can talk about it, and I can talk about it, and go home and fall short in my own meditations, my own prayer life, and how do I do that? And I can intellectually understand it all so well, and I can feel the power of it, and then I can come out of my meditation and say, why didn't it work this time? And then through a single song, I can get that lit up in me. Through another human being, like Yogananda, or like a common person on the street. You know, they change and become the voice for God, and they speak right to you some truth that goes into you, and you felt the presence of God. When you feel that in your body, that's the scientific presence of God. But a process happens, and I've been interested in this process for a long time. We at Unity were introduced to it perhaps by H.M. Elikady, who wrote a book called Lessons in Truth, which became the foundation for our Unity teachings. And that term is chemicalization. Have you heard of that? It's a term that scientists use when they put things together and they basically blow up or fizz over or react. That's chemicalization. Spiritually, Charles Fillmore in The Revealing Word defines chemicalization as a condition in the mind that is brought about by the conflict that takes place when a high spiritual realization contacts an old error state of consciousness. And that seems kind of a technical term, but I felt what it's like. I start to reach for the higher spiritual ideal, and my old way of thinking revolts, and I feel a chemical process inside of me. It's literally a scientific reaction that happens, a chemical reaction. So I was searching around, trying to find out more about chemicalization, and I came across an article by a fellow named Christian Sinclair. And you can search for it on the internet and find it. It's about chemicalization. He's got a quote in there from Emmett Fox about chemicalization. He said, "It seems as though everything begins to go wrong at once. This may be disconcerting, but it is really a good sign." Do you believe that? When it's going all bad, do you believe it's a good sign? I don't know. "Suppose your whole world seems to rock on its foundation. Hold on steadily. And let it rock. And when the rocking is over, the picture will have reassembled itself into something much nearer to your heart's desire." Doesn't that sound like our world today? Right where we're at. And as I read on this fellow's article, it got even more like today's world. He says there's these four parts to the chemicalization process. The new truth is introduced. There's a great upheaval, chemicalization. And then the stillness and the shedding. And then the fulfillment and the up-leveling. And isn't that what everybody's talking about today? The upgrading. Some people have gone as far as to say that this virus that has been rocking our world is an upgrade. Do you believe that? Not something to be feared. I don't know. It doesn't seem so in our world that we're at that level. But if this process is true, that there's a new truth being introduced, there was the upheaval, now we're in the stillness and the shedding, then we can look forward that we're right at the phase where we're looking at the fulfillment and the up-leveling of whatever this was for. And doesn't the universe do that? If there's one power and one presence that's ultimately good, then everything is for you. In one of my Unity classes that I'm in this quarter, the whole theme is, what if nothing was against you? What if everything was for you? Every experience that you had, I'm not there yet, but when I am there, even in my greatest upheaval, I'm anticipating that there's going to be an up-leveling, and it will come. Sometimes, like that daily word, hold steady and know that it will happen. That's really faith. Being completely unsure and not having any idea what's going to happen, but knowing regardless that it's going to be for the best and highest good of all involved. So no, I don't do fear about the world today. I do hope. So in that book, Lessons in Truth, it's funny about that book because the original edition has the whole chapter on chemicalization and some other very, very deep spiritual considerations. And that was removed in later editions and then put back. Some people didn't like it because it was too difficult to understand. And so when it was removed, we saw the value in the entirety of the work that Emily Cady gave us. So she says this interesting thing in there. You know, it's always in the people's stories, isn't it? Like, I can pontificate all day long about spiritual principles, but when I tell you a story about what happened to me, it changes. And when I hear your stories, like at the Celebration of Life yesterday, we heard the people telling these awesome stories about John's life. And it just invigorated me to hear those things, to really get a snapshot of what this human being was all about while he was here. It's in that story that makes it so sweet and so special. Every one of us has struggles. Every one of us will struggle. But ultimately, we return to our beautiful source. And I think that scientific prayer and meditation is nothing more than being in that source right here and now that we will ultimately go to anyway. It's about realizing it here and now. Anyway, Emily Cady, God, I can get on a rant really easy. Emily Cady says she was around somebody who had this really strong personality, and it really bothered her, and she started to feel completely out of control and like she was doing everything wrong. And she said, she started to lay a hold of this idea that there's no personality in the universe, but that there is individuality. And that difference between wanting accolades, wanting to be seen, wanting to be the most powerful person in the room, and being an individual expressing the individual light of God, that there's a tremendous difference in those things, because one empowers and one breaks down. So she came up with an affirmation. She said, always remember that personality is of the mortal and individuality is of God. There is no personality in the universe. There is nothing but God. This is the part that St. Paul talks about, that I die daily. He wakes up and he knows that his little personality is a passing wisp in the wind, but that his individuality, his unique spark of God and his soul, is the one thing that must be nurtured for eternal life to become a reality here and now. She says, those who are not very subtle in their convictions are more malleable mentally and physically and not so apt to chemicalize. That's a mouthful. Basically, when I'm really into my convictions and I know that I'm right and the higher spiritual idea comes in, my revolting, my spasms, and my insane reaction is more intense when I'm more convicted. So I must loosen up a little bit if I don't want to suffer. She says, vigorous use of denials are also more apt to produce chemicalization than is the use of affirmations. She gives an example. There is no lack. And then it's so easy to run around seeing everywhere there's lack, as opposed to saying, wait a minute, God is my supply. The universe right now is working to give me everything that I want, need, or could possibly use. Do you see the difference? One is an allowing. The other is a force of will. And allowing is much more powerful. There is always less resistance by the mortal when it is gently led into the truth than when its errors are directly and vigorously combated. Written in 1890 or something, how pertinent is that in our world today? If we could lower the fists and lift up the heart. So, another story I want to share with you that just made me cry. Literally, I cried when I heard this. And it's a story about Paramahansa Yogananda in his early years. He was in Vermont, and he came over, and he is this part of him I didn't know. But he came in, and he first started teaching about scientific contact of God, and all these people would flood to see him. And they wanted to know. This is about 1920 or so. And so they came by the droves, and they would listen to his lectures enraptured by what he had to say. And he knew the Bible really well. And so one talk that he gave a Bible verse, or an interpretation of a Bible verse about Jesus' life. And it was met with roaring applause. But later he got a letter. And it was somebody condemning him for his, wrong interpretations or, some way an unsavory letter. He thought about that and let it go. And some time later, he was in the library there. And he suddenly felt this overwhelming presence. And then he heard a voice and he said it was God. And God said, "The man who wrote you the letter is here." And Yogananda looked around and he said, "He's right over there in the corner." So Yogananda went up to him and he mentioned the letter. And the man said, "How do you know that I'm the one that wrote the letter?" Because it was an anonymous letter. And Yogananda looked at him very lovingly. And he said, "By the same power that I know about Jesus Christ's life." And when I heard that, I don't know what it was, but it just got me right in the heart. He says, we can contact that power. We don't need a book. We don't need an explanation. We need only let go and allow that divine wisdom to come and let us know what's happening. We've all had that experience where we know somebody that's in the space next to us, where we think about somebody and the text message or the phone call comes. We all know this power exists. And so this whole thing about mind, body, and spirit, it's very hard to talk about, to figure out how do I explain this? And you can't explain it. But through these stories, we can feel it. And in my own life, and in the life of Paramahansa Yogananda, and Emily Cady, and Charles Fillmore, and Myrtle Fillmore, and all of the spiritual people who have come along to share with us their teachings, there's one thing that they talk about. They talk about allowing themselves to be used completely by this power, where everything becomes reverent, where I no longer want to destroy but lift up, and where I give my life to be used so that every song that I sing is God singing through me. Every word that I speak is God speaking through me. Albert Einstein said there's only two ways to live your life. One is as though everything was a miracle, and the other as though nothing was a miracle. Okay. What's like a song that opens up your heart? Poetry. I often think about when I hear the songs, I think that they are poetry in music. And Yogananda has a poem that he wrote in Songs of the Soul, one of the very first books that he wrote, and I believe it was back there in Vermont in those early years that he came. And it's called Thou in Me. When I smile, thou dost smile through me. And when I cry, in me thou dost weep. When I wake, thou greetest me. When I walk, thou art with me. Thou dost smile and weep. Thou dost wake and walk like me. My likeness thou, but when I dream, thou art awake. When I stumble, thou art sure. When I die, thou art my life. I sometimes get the feeling maybe I could just read that poem and then we could just all sit for 15 minutes and that could be the talk. Like my friend Peter said, there's no more words, so let me talk for 20 more minutes. But it made me think of a Bible verse, and so often Paramahansa Yogananda, I talk about this extraordinary human being because so much inspiration has come through him for not just myself, but for millions and millions of people. He has a wonderful book that's this gigantic thing called The Second Coming of Christ, where he tells you in the book how it came. And it didn't come because he studied the Bible for many years. It came because he asked Jesus Christ to show him what to say, and then his pen started to move. And so there's all these places where I hear a poem by Yogananda, and then it reminds me of a Bible verse, And I don't know why this happened, but I found this Bible verse from John 17. I in them and thou in me. And for me, those things are extraordinary because it's that synchronicity that we know is the Spirit speaking to us. And he says, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world.